Hello and welcome to morning prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. I thank God that we're able to be together in prayer this morning. Today is Thursday and this is the 21st week after Pentecost. This week we have started reading the book of 1 Samuel and we're listening to how God is at work and faithful to God's people, even in dark times, even in times of transition, chaos and upheaval, times of dramatic change. In times like these, the Lord calls us to draw close to God in prayer. So this week, what are you praying for? And how will you know how God has heard and answered your request? And now we begin our time of prayer together in silence. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. You have been born anew through the abiding word of God. A reading from 1 Samuel chapter 4. In those days the Philistines mustered for war against Israel, and Israel went out to battle against them. They encamped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped at Aphek. The Philistines drew up in line against Israel, and when the battle was joined, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men on the field of battle. When the troops came to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord put us to rout today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord here from Shiloh, so that he may be among us and save us from the power of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, and brought from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel gave a mighty shout, so that the earth resounded. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shouting, they said, "What does this great shouting in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come to the camp, the Philistines were afraid, for they said, gods have come into the camp. They also said, "Woe to us, for nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us, who can deliver us from the power of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with every sort of plague in the wilderness. But take courage and be men, O Philistines, in order not to become slaves to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought. Israel was defeated, and they fled, everyone to his home. There was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. A man of Benjamin ran from the battle line and came to Shiloh the same day, with his clothes torn and with earth upon his head. When he arrived, Eli was sitting upon his seat by the road watching, for his heart trembled for the Ark of God. When the man came into the city and told the news, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the sound of the outcry, he said, "What is this uproar?" The man came quickly and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were set so that he could not see. The man said to Eli, I have just come from the battle. I fled from the battle today. He said, How did it go, my son? The messenger replied, Israel has fled before the Philistines. There has also been a great slaughter among the troops. Your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured. When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell over backwards from his seat by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy. He had judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant, about to give birth. When she heard the news that the Ark of God was captured, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed and gave birth, for her labor pains overwhelmed her. As she was about to die, the women attending to her said, Do not be afraid, for you have borne a son. But she did not give answer or give heed. She named the child Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God had been captured, and because her father-in-law and her husband had died. She said, The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured. The word of the Lord. A national crisis has now turned into a national calamity almost overnight. First, the Israelites go out in battle against the Philistines, who have invaded them, but they are defeated. But in that losing that battle, they are able to regroup so that they can fight it again another day. But in their camp, they sense that something is wrong. They sense that the Lord has not gone out with them to fight against their enemies. So to assure their victory in their next engagement, the Israelites decide to carry the Ark of the Covenant with them into battle, just as their ancestors had done when they entered Cana with Joshua all those years before. Eli's sons are there, most likely supervising the carrying of the Ark, and an uneasy Eli will wait in his chair beside the road, waiting for news of what happens in battle. When the news comes to him by messenger, it is catastrophic. Israel has been routed, thousands have died in the defeat, including Eli's own son, and the Ark of the Covenant is captured by the Philistines. Even though this nation, Israel, has a special relationship with God, even though the Lord claims Israel as the Lord's firstborn, even though they have been chosen by God to receive God's wisdom and law and to bear God's light to the world, even though God loves them dearly, even though God will not be dragged around or used like some kind of magic idol. No matter what Indiana Jones thinks, there is no power in the Ark itself, but in God's presence, in God's own choice to act on behalf of God's people. As we will see throughout this story, just because Israel wants to go out against its enemies doesn't mean that the Lord will go out with them. And just because Israel is God's chosen, the nation of the covenant, doesn't mean that God will indulge their every ambition or even their every military act of self-defense. In fact, there are times when God will seem to act against God's own people as a way of revealing to them that all is not okay and that only God can set them straight. For the past two chapters, we have known that God was about to act in judgment against Eli's family. Yet, from the outside, life in Israel went on as usual. Then, in what seems like just a short amount of time, suddenly all of Israel discovers that something has truly gone wrong in its relationship with God, and that Eli's sons have received, finally, the justice that the people have cried out for against them. What was hidden in the everyday life of this nation has now been revealed to all, and what seemed to be a sudden and catastrophic loss was actually years and years in the making. And now the very sign of God's presence in and among God's people has been removed from their enemy. And as Eli's daughter-in-law proclaims in the naming of her son, It seems as if the glory of the Lord has left, and the nation is left in darkness. This is one of those more difficult truths that we have to come to terms with, that just because God loves us and has claimed us as his people doesn't mean that we can presume upon God to follow our will or to be paraded out in our causes or for our own defense. Just because we fail and our enemies triumph over us and it seems as if God has left us alone, that also doesn't mean that God really has abandoned us or is unfaithful to us. God is faithful, and God loves us. But what we humans always struggle with is how God doesn't care much whether our military triumphs or not. What God desires is a people who are attuned to God's own mind and heart. It is a dark day. Everything is out of place. How will this nation respond to this crisis? How would you respond in such a time? In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord, who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation in Christ and all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the communion of faith in your church, for the gift of relationship with others. For what else are we truly thankful? Merciful God of might, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all of your children and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land, and especially our congregation. We pray for those who govern the nations of the world, for people in countries ravaged by strife and warfare, for all who work for peace and international harmony, for all who strive to save the earth from carelessness and destruction. For who else or for what else do we pray today? Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. In all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak. Help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.